Hey, everybody, this is Leah Blevins, and you are listening to Walk the Floor. I hope you enjoy.
I'm walking the floor over you.
Walking the floor.
I'm walking the floor.
Walking the floor over you.
Hola, senores and senoritas, and welcome to episode number 208 of Walking the Floor with me, your host, as always, Mr. Chris Shiflett, right here, holding it down. I just gotta warn you, I literally just came from the pharmacy where I got my booster shot, so I might start fucking getting weird here in a minute, might start getting loopy. Fingers crossed, I'll be all good. But if I do, you know what happened. Anyway, what's going on this week? We finally got some decent winter swell. That's been good. Arsenal fucking drew with Burnley, which that's not good. That complicates our fight for fourth place, which is no fun, really, against Burnley. I mean, we should have, you know. That should have been an easy win, but it wasn't. And the other thing that I did, I located most of the Jackson United Masters and artwork. So I promise I will someday soon-ish put all that stuff up in the DSPs, because I don't think those records, I think maybe the second record's up in the DSPs, but maybe it's just in America. I don't know. I got to get those up worldwide in all the streaming services, and I will soon, I swear. But in looking for those masters and the artwork and stuff, I got to tell you, I found tons of Jackson United t-shirts just like sitting in boxes pushed to the back of my studio, and stickers, and tons of CDs. Like, here's the question. Does anybody want thousands of Jackson United, or at the very least hundreds of Jackson United CDs? Is there any appetite for that out there in the world? If you're listening and you do, please DM me, because maybe, I mean, I guess I could put them for sale in my online store or something, but like, does anybody buy? Should I just give CDs away? My wife told me that I should just throw them out, and I think she's probably right, but I feel weird doing that. So you people, let me know if anybody wants those CDs. And like, if you want to just drive over to my studio and I could just load all of them into one person's car, I'd be totally down with that. So yeah, let me know. And in the meantime, let's talk about our good friends at Sounds.com. Sounds.com. Did you know that everything is costing more these days? And you don't want to let increased costs prevent you from owning the gear you want, right? So you gotta buy your gear from Sounds using one of their easy monthly payment plans. They have easy payment plans to make gear affordable. And you get the gear you want today, and then you pay for it over a period of months. That's right, get on over there to Sounds.com. And let's get today's interview going. All right, Kentucky native Leah Blevins is the guest this week on Walking the Floor. She put out her debut record not too long ago called First Time Feeling, that was produced by Paul Cawthon and Bo Bedford. I should mention Paul Cawthon, friend of the show. But yeah, Paul Cawthon and Bo Bedford produced it. I believe some of the Texas gentlemen maybe played on it as well, and it's a really good record. And she's got a great, like, just classic, beautiful country singing voice, and it was a lot of fun to talk to. So this is Leah Blevins on Walking the Floor. I was reading through your bio that Shelby sent me, and there was a bunch of things I wanted to ask you about, but I think the part that jumped out at me the most was there was a line in there that described your father as a dentist and Elvis impersonator turned state politician. So do tell. That sounds like you had a pretty cool, interesting dad.
Oh, he's extraordinary. He was a captain in the military, moved to Germany, came back, was a dentist there. Then ran for office, I think, when he was 28. So he was a Kentucky state senator. And yeah, so my whole life, he just had karaoke equipment and multiple Elvis suits and did his thing.
not just one Elvis suit. He had multiple Elvis suits.
He sure
did. Which version of Elvis did he lean to?
I feel like it was probably the lateral part of Elvis's life. He kind of, he went for the little thicker version of
right.
Elvis.
Jumpsuit, lamb chops, that version yep. of Elvis. Yeah,
that's,
dig it.
That's the
dig
one.
It. Well, it sounds like your family like played a pretty big part in your musical upbringing.
Absolutely. Like on the front end of it, like my mama's side of the family, they all played music and instilled just gospel music within our walk of life. And then daddy was like the liberal karaoke singing guy. So it was kind of like a very like duality of just like structuralized music and then just free spirited. So yeah.
Interesting. What do you mean by structuralized music? Like music lessons and that sort of thing?
Yeah. Like my mom was a piano teacher, so they wanted us to do the do, re, mi and sing in pitch and things of that nature. But yeah.
I mean, like what kind of music did you gravitate to growing up? What were you into?
I feel like, you know, I discovered Stevie Nicks at like age 9. I had a sister who was 7 years older than me. So she kind of, you know, influenced us girls. I have a twin sister as well. All that to say, we started out singing in church, and then I feel like I went towards like the Eagles, Tom Petty, Stevie, classic rock, really. And daddy always had the Beatles, Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, Dwight Yoakam playing. So it was a very diverse list of things.
Interesting. Does your sister play music as well?
Lacey. Yeah. Lacey's my twin. She moved to Nashville in 2016 and she's doing her own thing. And we have a little group together, but my older sister, she never really pursued it, but we all can play and sing something, you know.
Where are you now? Do you live in Nashville or did you relocate down to Texas?
I'm in Nashville. I've been here since 2012. Okay. Just recorded the record in Dallas.
Okay. Yeah. How'd that wind up coming to be? Like, how'd you connect? I know Paul, you know, I've done shows with Paul.
Sure.
And I imagine he would be fun to be in the studio with. I don't think I've met Bo Bedford, but can you talk about that a little bit? Like what those guys are like as a production team and how you connected with them?
Sure. It was initially Paul. I'd met Paul doing a Van Morrison cover show years back, and he would kind of just hint around that he'd like to make a record. And he and Bo had worked together throughout his like three releases, and they have a record or not a record. They have a studio called Modern Electric, and that's Jeff Sines and Bo Bedford. And Bo was a part of the Texas Gentlemen. I don't know if you've heard of them, but
what is the Texas Gentlemen exactly? Like, I know they've got a couple records, but are the Texas Gentlemen like a band, or is it just kind of a loose collective, or what is that?
That was I asked the same question once I got down there. I was like, so what does that mean? What is the entity of Texas Gentlemen? I think it's just a loose like ebb and flow of whoever's around. And maybe it started out differently, but I think that's pretty much the gist of it now, what you said in terms of like loosely laid out and whoever comes and goes type deal. But they released, I'd heard that record. I think that was 2017. And I was like, the two, Paul had released a record that same year. And I was like, I've got, this sound is just too endearing. And I loved it. And that's what kind of drew me near to working with Paul. It was like probably 2 weeks before we pulled the trigger to actually record. I was like, do I even want to make a record? Am I ready? This, that, and the other. But all that to say, I met Paul and he kept the idea kind of just stirring, and it was very fast paced. It was October 2019, went down there for 4 days, and we did like 9 songs at that session. And then in January of 2020, we finished, and it was just a really quick, pretty much an unintentional record. If
Wait,
you
so
ask me.
Did you just say, so you met him and then 2 weeks later was when you made the record?
I guess I didn't say that correctly. I met him in 2016 and we didn't record till 2019. He just kept putting it in my ear.
I was going to say, did you have all your songs together? But then that doesn't really make sense.
No, not at all. That was my bad. I just kept sending them, you know, songs from like years back and things that I had kind of tucked away. And Bo really was the driving force in terms of just like the sound of everything. And
right.
It all worked out in its own fashion, you know.
And who played on it?
It was Paul's original band. So all those guys, they kind of have like their own little feel. They're all buddies and were roommates at the time. So
yeah. I mean, that's interesting, getting thrown in, or not thrown into it, but jumping into the studio. Like, I imagine, you know, I know Paul's like, he's like a strong personality. Like, how do you sort of navigate that in that environment with, you know, recording with a bunch of people that it's not your band, you know what I mean? And how do you sort of keep it all in check, you know, so that it's collaborative in its way when you're doing, you know, recording with producers and musicians and everything, but you still want it to be you and your vision.
You know, I feel like for me, it's like, I'm still on the back end of learning the production end of things, because naturally I'm just a girl with an acoustic guitar writing and singing songs. But for me, it was like getting down there and allowing them to have, you know, their understanding of what it needed to sound like. And then I would give my two cents here and there, but I really wanted to allow them to do what I knew they were making prior to me being there. I knew they had it, and I knew I was allowing myself to trust that. And that's kind of a cliche way to, in a roundabout way of saying it, but I feel like in that time, I'm so far removed from recording it. I think this next go at things, it'll be much more intentional, and I'll get to like dissect how I want things to actually sound and this, that, and the other. But I do want to kind of nod my head at the fact that Bo and Jeff Sines, they have something going on. The tag team there of those two guys, like whoever walks in Modern Electric is going to walk out with something with depth, you know?
Right. Yeah. They've got like a signature sound or a signature vibe or something, what they do. It's interesting. You know, I think about that a lot myself when I'm recording. And you know, I've been in the middle of making a record this year myself, and have made a couple records out in Nashville where it's like, it's fast, that style of recording, as opposed to the more traditional thing that is sort of where I come from, where it's, you're a band and you work everything up and then you go into the studio and record it. It's a different way of working, you know, and I always find for myself, it's a whirlwind when I'm in the studio and the collaborative thing. And you're just so happy to hear your idea bouncing around the room and being reflected off these other people with their input. But then you go and you leave, and then it really sinks in kind of what happened, and you go through and sort of look at it all and see what it's all become. But like, and generally you get great results of that. But then every now and again, you're kind of like, fuck, that didn't really work the way I wanted it to.
It's, you know, saying, I mean, that way better. I'm a better singer now.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think, you know, to add to that or echo what you're saying, I feel like now I'm re-listening to the record, which feels wrong, but now I'm hearing it and it's like, I would have done this differently, and not to take away from it, but it's one of those things where it's so fast paced and everybody's got a schedule and you just got to meet eye to eye and keep trudging. But I think I'm getting stronger and having a better understanding of how I want my music to sound as we go.
And like, how was it for you putting out a record in the middle of this weirdness? I know this isn't like the first thing you've ever put out, but it's I think your first full length, right?
Yep.
Right. So, I mean, what was that like for you? Like, I imagine you would have, you know, like everybody else, like us putting out records at this time, sort of got like your plan, and then that all gets shot to hell because of COVID. But like, how have you adapted to this strange pandemic reality of putting out music without being able to really promote it and tour it and the way you'd want?
Sure. I think, you know, I've always released everything independently. I never had I signed a distribution deal, and that allowed me to kind of level up in such a way. And personally, I feel like if we would have waited to release this next year, it probably could have been a different song and dance. But again, everybody's got their own penciled in time and schedule, and you kind of have to go according to that. But it's strange. And I think we're all like just now kind of on the tail end of what this all looks like. It's like we're still, as human beings, just deciphering like what this all even means internally without music being involved type deal. But I'm glad it's out there. And the reception, it's like I feel like a, you know, the yearly reviews and things of that nature that are now coming out. I had my feelings kind of, I was in my emotions a little bit. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not here to get somebody to tell me or validate me. I'd much prefer doing it the old fashioned way and going out and playing shows. And if it hits, it hits, you know, but I'm proud of this record. And I feel like I want to use that word lightly, but I feel good about it. So whatever happens with it, it'll take shape.
And have you been managing to get out and do shows and stuff now that the world has kind of opened up to that again?
Yeah, I feel like I have a 9-to-5. I make candles for a living, and it's allowed me, they're lenient with inflexible in terms of letting me off to play shows. So it's been a good mix of the two. I'll say that.
How'd you fall into candle making? That sounds like a very specific skill set.
It's strange, man. I just love the aspect of using my hands and like having a routine and what that looks like. But I saw an ad on Instagram and applied and got in there.
Nice. Well, I was looking at, and sometimes Spotify gets these like release dates way off and stuff. So I could be wrong, but I was just looking at the release dates between like your first EP that you put out, I think was 2015. And then there was some stuff around 2017 and then now this latest record. So what was going on for you, like musically or professionally, like on the business side of things, you know, where you, through that time, like why did it take that much time to get your full length after the EP?
I feel like, you know, to be straight up, it's money. I've always had a job, and it's like paycheck to paycheck existence. And but I don't want to take away from the fact that I've had so many people help me out along the way. It's just I had to be not so much strategic, but I definitely had to just wait until I could afford to do it and things of that nature. But also I was never a front runner. I was always a background vocalist. So it took me a long time to kind of decide that I was going to give myself this opportunity to just pursue it in general. But I don't think there was really a method to releasing. It kind of all just happened the way it happened. And at this time in life, I feel fortunate enough to kind of sit comfortable in the fact that I know I get to make another one, another full-length record, and at least have the material to do so, which I feel like a lot of people throughout this pandemic have been much more creative. But I feel like I've been in a weird state of mind, just like I didn't have any inspiration to want to pick up the guitar. But
interesting.
I just feel like I don't ever try to force myself to do anything. And that's probably why there's been so much space in between the release and the making of these songs.
It is a funny thing. You know, I feel like, and I'm guilty of this myself by having this podcast, but I feel like there's so much focus nowadays on like songwriting and songwriting process in a way that didn't exist, you know, 5, 10, 20 years ago, where there's such a peek behind that curtain that I think it has created this kind of ridiculous false idea that songwriters are supposed to just write all the time, that is like the high point of creativity, is to always be doing it. And I think people say that more than they do it. You know what I mean? I never believe that when people, I mean, maybe if you're a music or a songwriter, sure, you're doing it day in and day out. But I feel like for most of the rest of us, cause I've like racked myself with guilt over this. Oh God, I gotta be more fun. I gotta woodshed more and everything. And you know, I think you make a good point. And I remember John Doe from X told me that too. He just, I write when I feel like writing, you know, I don't force myself to write.
I had a pub deal a few years back, and I just felt like I'd walk in there and had to meet a quota. And it just felt like I was staring out the window half the time. And I don't get me wrong, more power to anybody who can, you know, if you have a family, that's a great way to provide. But maybe I'm just a rebel at heart and don't like to be told when and what to do, I guess. But I just feel like if I'm going to force it, then it's not really, it's not coming from me. It's like someone's telling me when and how to do it. And that just, that irks me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So did you, spent some time in that Music Row songwriting business?
I mean, it was a very small spectrum of what that looked like. But yeah, I think that was 2016. I did that for a year and wasn't getting paid anything. I just had to have 6 songs meeting a quota in a year. But it was still like that scheduled 3 writes a day. Sometimes that was the case. And it was just, it felt like I was, you know, spread too thin. It didn't feel like what it didn't feel authentic to me.
And 6 songs per year, when you consider that those 6 songs are going to be co-writes with probably 2 other people, is really what, 18 songs, or kind of how the math works on the thing. So, okay. That's interesting. Cause I also read in your bio, you said something like, I'm good. It's me discovering that I'm capable of writing a song on my own. Is that kind of what you were referring to?
Yeah, that certainly.
Co-write thing.
I think yes, definitely that. And also a level of just knowing that I was capable of making sense of the song, writing it myself, this, that, and the other. I just kind of felt like I was being boxed in. And I know for a matter of fact that I'm always going to be outside of the box a little bit. I think that's why for a lot of folks, they don't know where to place me in terms of my songwriting and perhaps my voice and essentially my dialect, this, that, and the other. But it's like, I just feel as though I'm not here on this earth to appease what numbers look like. If that's where my head's at, then I think I'll hang my hat type deal.
It's a really interesting thing. Like, you know, from what little, I don't really have any personal experience in that world, although I've done a bunch of co-writes over the years with friends of mine and some Nashville songwriters and stuff like that. So I think I have a little bit of insight into how it works. But I think that it comes down to also like different people's skill sets, you know, like not every songwriter is going to be strong at writing in that way. And I don't know, we all shouldn't beat ourselves up for that. I'm curious, like, and I'm kind of going through this myself right now with a couple things that I've been working on. Like, how do you sort of write yourself out of when you're stuck on an idea? Because a lot of Nashville songwriters and Music Row songwriters I talk to almost universally say that they come up with the hook and then they kind of write backwards from there. But like, I have a song that I got to go record vocals on for soon that I like the chorus, but the verses I've written don't really support it. You know what I mean? I'm kind of in this weird, like, I like the end, I like the summary, but I can't figure out how to get to it.
You know what I mean?
Right. You know what I mean? Like, how do you deal with that when you have one of those yourself?
You know, I'm still trying to be better about that. Cause I'm notorious for just putting it on paper, not coming back to it. It's not going to make a lick of sense to anybody else unless maybe I give a little insight beforehand. But, you know, I forget who said this. Somebody said, maybe it was Willie Nelson. He was like, just get it on paper first and then, you know, come back to it. It doesn't have to be the end all, you know, be all. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like we are living in a world where everyone has us under a microscope. And like, for me, it's like, I don't have a formula. It's something that's internal and it just comes out. Like I don't do anything the same every time type deal, but to each their own, you know?
I mean, does songwriting come comfortably or naturally to you?
It's since I was, I have journals from when I was 9, 10 years old. And for me, it's like, if I don't get my thoughts on paper, I feel like I'd probably be a nutcase. But, personally, it's just, being unapologetic about what I feel I need to say, and emotionally, being unafraid to say what I'm actually going through. And I think that's my strong suit in this life, is just, you know, we all are going through something, and some people like to kind of diminish or hide it. And then there's others like myself who are like, you know what? I'm sad. I'm scared. I've been through hell and back. Let me tell you about it, because I know you've experienced the same thing. And that's really where my head's at when I pick up a guitar and try to write something down. Like, I'm just trying to be honest, and hopefully that works for some.
It's funny, you know, I think about that sometimes. Like, I always gravitate to the darker side of my own personal experience when I'm writing songs. And that's just always the thing that's the most interesting to me. And that's what I'm most interested in other people too. But then I sometimes beat myself up over it. Like, God, I never write about the good shit, you know, but like, why is that so uncomfortable to write about the sort of happiness in your life? I don't know. I think that's the hardest thing to do, and not sound like a bunch of just shitty, empty, like cliche platitudes, you know?
Man, that's perfectly said. I don't want to sound dark here, but maybe I just am. It's like the good moments are what keep us trudging through this existence, essentially. And it's like, I don't have time to, I just want to feel the goodness. I don't want to put it on paper. I want to talk about the in-between parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another thing, and I think it was in that same quote that I referenced a minute ago, but you said something about being capable of staying sober. And this is, you know, my sober birthday was actually yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been a minute. I mean, it's a strange thing. Sometimes navigating this industry, and staying sober. So I'm curious sort of how you, and I don't know if that's not something you want to talk about, then we can not talk about that too.
I'm happy to, you know, this is something I'm still walking through as we speak. It's like, my 4-year mark of not touching a pill will be in February. However, I'll dabble in alcohol here and there, and, you know, I don't see anything wrong with smoking weed, but there's whatever works for everyone else. But my choice in life is to be conscientious of what I'm doing with it. And I feel like I don't need to, I just don't want to forget how far I've come. And I think that's like the message. If you've been in any AA, NA meetings, it's just for today. And it's like, a part of me doesn't want to expose myself, but at the same token, it's like, what is the point of being so vulnerable, getting up on a stage singing songs, if I'm not going to tell the entirety of the story? It's like, I feel as a 31-year-old woman on this earth, I'm just trying to navigate what works for me and the folks that are in my world or my circle. But yeah, I think, this is another conversation, you know, just upbringing, being exposed to things at a young age, and therapy, and just coming to terms with like the fact that we are all human beings at the end of the day. Our mothers, our fathers, our siblings, our friends, we're all sent here involuntarily and just trying to get through, and whatever works for that individual, so be it.
Yeah, well, you know, it certainly makes getting up and making it to sound check on the road a little easier too.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. So what's next for you? You mentioned making another record. Are you already thinking about that?
Yeah. I'm trying to, figure out what that looks like. But with this distribution deal, we have deadlines again. So I think next year around September, we'll have to go back in and face what that looks like.
Nice.
But definitely going to get back with Bo Bedford and go back down to Dallas and go through that process.
Nice. And you put your stuff out through 30 Tigers. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. David Macy's.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah, I put my last record out through them too. Yeah, great okay, bunch of people over there. Yeah. How did you wind up connecting with them? How did that come together?
Americana Fest a few years back, he was out in front of the Basement East, and I just walked up and introduced myself and met that following week. And he said, when you get the record done, I'll we'll make something happen. And it was kind of simplistic as that. Yeah.
Wow. You cut out the middleman, no manager, no lawyer.
None of it.
Put the demo tape in his hand and it was off to the races.
I want you to know who I am.
That's how you, that's old school.
I'm an old grandma at heart. I'll tell you that.
Well, right on. It was really nice talking to you today. And you know, thanks for taking the time to do it. So good luck.
Thanks for giving me this opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, of course. Hopefully I'll see you out there on the road sooner than later.
All right. Sounds good, man. Have a good day.
Take care. All right, that was Leah Blevins on Walking the Floor. Make sure you go out and spin her debut record, First Time Feeling. It's great. You're going to love it. And I'll be back in a couple weeks with my interview with Triple G, boxer, pugilist, extraordinaire, Triple G. Coming back at you soon. All right, that's it for this week, kids. Adios, amigos.